Welcome back to the Spodcasters. It's about that time of the year, Tom. Things are getting interesting.
Well, yeah, it's getting interesting. March. February's behind us. February is like August in the baseball season. It's like, come on, get here. Get here September in baseball. Get here March. March is here.
Tom, you're in Kansas City. Nobody wants fans. October to come in baseball in Kansas City.
Metaphor.
You'll find that out here pretty soon.
That's May for the Royals.
Anyway. We know that Kansas is the number two seed in the Big 12 tournament, but they're co-champs, and they were the first ones to get a share of that co-championship. Yet Texas is hoisting the trophy for all the world to see as if they're the only champs and the first champs, and Gary Bedore spoke with Bill Self about that today, so we'll have a story tomorrow on Coach Self's reaction to that. It was baloney. I mean, if you're going to call it a co-championship, you don't make a mistake like that.
We were joking around earlier, like, it's Southern biased.
It is.
The office is in Dallas. It's already down there. What is the deal? And hey, yeah, the trophy obviously should
with Texas comes special privilege.
Well, what is the deal, Kevin?
And should I don't know.
Somebody screwed up.
There was some sort of mess up in the Big 12 office. I mean, they obviously should have had a trophy at both locations. I don't know why they wouldn't have had. You know, and after they didn't have one on the Saturday for Kansas – why did they have it down there in Austin then the next day? I think they should have had it. I think they should have known the mistake and said, we better not do this. Let's just keep the trophy out.
Wasn't that the photo on the Big 12's official website? Weren't they hoisting the trophy and then Kansas was just fist pumping or something?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
if that's the case.
It's pretty good recruiting advantage there, but hey, maybe that's when you're Texas.
Hey, they need an advantage. Hey. KU has greater basketball traditions.
A lot of people's eyes, you know, it's, well, Texas beat Kansas, you know. And so maybe they look at it that way. But this is my thought on that because I've heard that a couple times. My thought is I think Kansas would happily say, all right, let's play one game for the title. We've already played at your house. Come to the field house and we'll play one game to settle it. You guys win, the trophy's yours. We win, it's ours. I think KU would probably accept that challenge.
I think Texas would probably back down from that challenge. They haven't done it since the inception of the Big 12. No South team has, and that's craziness. It's good logic. I'm one of the guys who said, well, you know, Texas won maybe, but not the trophy deal. The trophy deal is that's just a mess up.
I think that's why the Big 12 DJ does it that way,
right?
Because the North and the South, you don't get the even split.
No.
I mean, last year, KU shares the title with –
OU?
With Oklahoma, KU had to go where? I mean, in both you know, both seasons, KU has tied that team without the benefit of getting that home game, which means that other team stumbled along the road somewhere else where KU did not.
And Texas, of course, came up here last year, and they were in the running at that point, and KU crushes them, similar to what happened this
year. By 25.
Exactly. So, and you saw what happened to OU over the weekend when they went into Texas.
Yeah, I mean, even Texas, when they come to play, they come to play. But when
they're a weird team. What is with that?
Bunch of NBA guys.
Can they put
that's what
the
you call
games together
a money player? When the money's on the line, they take it.
Well, what was the Texas A&M game then?
Wasn't the money on the line against
that's
Duke
a big
on national
game.
TV?
Yeah.
Maybe there's some money trading hands. That's just my speculation. I'm not saying.
Yeah, that's Andy Samuelson for you.
Man's getting dirty.
But, and you know, Texas was the best team. They're tied. They're co-champs as they should be. Texas is the number one seed as it should be. And Texas is the team to beat in the Big 12 Conference Tournament. And if you're KU, there's no question at this point, well, if you lose on the second day, you get more rest. No, they want to win this thing, and they should want to win it, and they would benefit more from winning this because they'd get a more advantageous seed than if they did bow out on that second day and got extra rest.
But I was just thinking this to myself when I saw the parents come out. You looked at Kansas as the second team, but look who they're going to have to play in that first round. Really, you look at them, probably one of the two teams you don't want to play. And then Self said today during his press conference that he thought, you know, K-State, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State were the three of the lower half that could make run.
When Bill said there's three teams that were really dangerous, I knew what two of them were going to be.
Yeah,
you
of
knew,
course. You're not dumb.
He's going to say Oklahoma State and Iowa State. I wrote those two down before I even mentioned. I started thinking, I wonder who that third team's going to be. And then he just picks his biggest rival. He just whacked over at their place for the 23rd consecutive time. So it all made sense. It was perfect sense.
You know, but he's not far off. I mean, in all honesty, Iowa State, probably some of the best guard play, which is what Bill talked about. And you always hear the experts say that guard play is what wins you tournaments, conference championships, and even national championships. Now, Iowa State's not going to do that. But do they have a team and some experience that could win a couple games in the Big 12? Yeah.
And the other thing, it's hard to beat the same team three times. There's
some
truth to that.
It's true. And Oklahoma
so
State.
Worn out. Speaking of cliches, we were joking about those earlier. I don't know about that. I mean, if you hammer, if there's two close games in a season, yeah, the third one's difficult because that team wants to beat you. But like somebody said, let me use this as an example, KU K-State women. I heard one of the people on the broadcast earlier this week on the KU K-State women say, well, KU has the advantage next week when the two teams play in the Big 12 tournament because it's hard to beat a team three times in a season. My thought was, did you just watch this game? What advantage do the KU women have over K-State? The answer is none. And they may win tomorrow. Maybe they'll play great, but history suggests K-State will whack them for the third time tomorrow.
I would think so.
Yeah, I would.
Who would you rather play, though? If you're KU, would you rather play Oklahoma State or would you rather play Iowa State in that first round? I'd rather play Iowa State.
The reason I wouldn't say Iowa State, and then I'll let you guys explain why, is because those two guards, they're capable, to me, of taking over a game. They both shoot the ball really well. They can do things to where I don't think they can run the table, but they're the kind of team that can win one game real quick, come out, shoot the ball real well. And it just seems to me, you know, this Curtis Stinson thing, I think he really hates KU. He wants to play his best against KU. Yeah, tries too hard. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if they played Iowa State, then Curtis and Webb and Blaylock come out, play great, beat KU, and then turn around and get absolutely whacked on Saturday because they spill their guts trying to play.
What are you talking about, taking over a game? They're going to take over the game one way or the other. It's just it's going to be positive or negative. I mean, those guys are going to shoot.
It's either with the ball or the mouth.
And they're either going to hit their shots, and there's a chance to win, or they're going to shoot too much and not take bad shots, and they're going to lose. I mean, they're going to take over a game. It's their game to win or lose.
And then to me, the Oklahoma State just still seems a little too immature and really hasn't found their way. But so give me your explanation why you'd want the opposite.
They are immature, but the talent level on Oklahoma State is pretty high, and that's why I think in order for either one of these teams to play to beat KU, they're going to have to play their best game. And I think Oklahoma State's best game is a little better than Iowa State's best game because the talent level is a little
better. How high do you think that talent level is there?
Hold up, Andy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just joking. Go ahead, Tom.
What were you saying, TJ?
Well, I also like to look at matchups and how teams match up. You always hear that being said. And I like the guard play as good as it is for Iowa State. I like the defensive matchup. You've got Mario. You've got Russell. They're playing some pretty good defense, and they match up with the Stinson and Blaylock, I feel like, especially even height-wise. You don't have to worry about anybody shooting over anybody in that game. It's going to match up defensively. And as well as these guys have played down the stretch, I think they match up better against Iowa State. I also am with you, Tom, that there's a higher talent level and a higher potential when it comes to Oklahoma State. They've got a chance. Oklahoma State's a team that could put something together here, and all the stuff around Eddie's starting to die down a little bit, unless another story's about ready to pop on that situation. But, you know, maybe they got a chance to string some practices together and do some stuff.
But when I think about Oklahoma State, I mean, who do you think of right away that could really hurt Kansas?
Curry.
Maybe, but he's had the sophomore jinx. Yeah, he has not been good, but... But, I mean, really hurt? Can he go out and score 25 or 30 and win a game for them like Stinson can or Blaylock can?
But when they score 25 or 30, they don't always win the game. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they take over, like Andy said. But some of the other guys stand around and watch them take over.
If you go back, though, and look at the big upsets Iowa State has had, Blaylock and Stinson have scored a 25 or 30. And I just look at Oklahoma State, and that doesn't mean Oklahoma State won't come out and win a 52-46 game against KU.
Yeah, could Dove take a rush out of the game?
Yeah. He might. But Dove's not going to score.
When you look at I agree with Kevin that there's not as many scores. Curry could get hot, but that's one scorer where, you know, Iowa State obviously, and then you put in Clark for Iowa State too, a decent shooter. They also have
Clark. I like him. He can really
big athlete
play up in the roof. You know, he really gets up. But some of those other big guys they have are soft. I don't like Taggart. He's a talent, but he's kind of a soft talent.
That's why they match up good with KU.
Yeah, because KU's big men can.
Are you calling him soft? That tattoo on his neck didn't. That's not soft.
That's tall. Straight. It's tall.
You're soft, but you want to throw off the image that you're not soft.
Ooh,
like, but that's not me saying like that. Tag. That's DJ Wetter over there.
Yeah, I did say that.
See, here's the difference. One of many differences between Taggart and Rush. Taggart joked that, "Hey, we played together, and you know, neither of us play any defense." Rush came back and said, that was last year. And he's right. I didn't play any defense when we were teammates last year. I play defense now. He's talking about himself. In other words, Rush has taken pride in his defense, and Taggart thinks that defense is a joke.
But what wasn't a joke was maybe that defense for Rush earned him today the Big 12 Conference first ever freshman to be named All-Big 12
first
team.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That's wild.
That's unbelievable.
That is wild.
In the history of the Big 12, the first freshman to be named on the first team. I would never guess that.
Me and you had some banter back and forth on which OU player should be on the first team. I think maybe they're right. Maybe both OU players should be on the second team. You have a co-champion. Why not have that? Someone's got to be up there, right? They're co-champions.
Yeah, I don't think you have to put someone from a co-champion up there. I didn't.
But why would you put? Why would you put a guy from a
that I should have, but I didn't. Well, the coach is there, Bill Self.
What was Texas Tech? Would they finish ninth? So Jarius Jackson averaged the most minutes in the league, scored the most points, but his team took ninth.
Tech's tenth.
He was other than against KU, he was on fire the second half of the Big 12 season.
But you got to look at where they finished too. That's a big factor.
You do, but it's a factor, and with KU. You know, you could certainly make a case that Rush deserves to be on the first team, but you also have Mario Chalmers, who I had on my third team. He was honorable mention.
Along with Julian.
And, Julian was honorable mention, was he?
Yeah, okay. They both were.
You know, and then you've got Russell Robinson, who's a tough, tough guy who really outplayed Stinson a couple times.
And he made all defensive team. Coach thought that, like you said, Chalmers might have made the third team, and maybe Robinson would get the honorable mention there.
That's what Selfin mentioned. He kind of thought that might be the way it would shake out. But both those guys deservedly get the defensive team. And then the rookie team
yeah, three.
It's basically Kansas. I mean, it's basically KU, the three freshmen all on there. And you start thinking, you know, if Micah had stuck around, he would have got enough minutes. Maybe four of the five guys on that rookie team.
I didn't even think of that.
Could have been Jayhawks, because Neil's the other one that's on. It's Neil from Oklahoma, those three Jayhawk players, and who's the other one?
Who was it? Hold on.
Do we have it here?
Yeah.
Is it a newcomer team or a freshman team?
It's a newcomer team.
Newcomer, right. Bogans? Was it Bogans?
No.
It was Michael Neal and the guy from Baylor, Curtis.
Curtis Gerrills.
Gerrills.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so there, and he would have been on there. No, so I guess the guy maybe.
So they're all freshmen except me.
Yeah, Micah probably wouldn't have beaten those two guys out, even if he had started playing more. But it is remarkable to think that, and now you know why. You know, I'm sure is still upset that that Micah left. But
you know, I don't think he even thinks about it.
I think he doesn't either. There was a question the day. There hadn't been a question about Micah in probably a month. But he responded, you know, we really didn't have a problem with him leaving. But now that we look back on it, you know, it really did bring the huddle tighter. He did mention that again.
Especially if Darrell Arthur comes.
Yeah.
Well, come on. Let's look at next year. Just for 1 second, let's look at next year with Darrell Arthur here. Darrell Arthur, Sharon Collins, Brandon Rush, Julian Wright, Mario Chalmers,
Russell Robinson,
Darnell Jackson, C.J. Giles, Sasha Kahn. I mean, Brady Morningstar in practice his first year.
I actually talked to Brady today. He's here. He's on spring break, so it's good to have him back in town. And he his season is over now at prep school, but he's looking forward to start playing.
It's a preseason top 10 team with Arthur. That's ridiculous to think about. But
preseason top five.
Preseason top five and Tom standings. Here's the other thing, though. Go backwards. Go to a season before when Russell Robinson, who Coach talked a lot about today, was really struggling with some things. And Coach mentioned today, we thought there was a time we thought he might transfer away. But I thought one thing was very interesting that Coach said. He said his father would never let him do that. He said his father would be very disappointed if Russell didn't stand up to that situation. What does that mirror? The exact
opposite. Look at
Micah's
dad.
I believe Micah Downs, when he transferred, he released a statement with his son saying, my son needs to do this, which a.k.a. meant he needs more playing time.
My son needs to transfer for the 14th time in his high school / college career. And
I'm not saying Bill meant that, but that was interesting.
And we mentioned that, though, on this show a couple of months ago. We said the family structure going on in Micah's family did not surprise us with what's going on, where other parents would take that exact stand.
Well, Russell basically said it at the time. You know,
he was never interested in transferring, I don't think. I think the perception was.
No, I talked to him about it, and he said he did give it some thought once during the season and once at the end of the season there, but that he had a better support system. And part of that support system, I'm sure, is Mo Hicks, his high school coach, who has one of the all-time big powerhouses in New York City, Rice High School, who probably told him, no, you stay there, you're in a good program, give it one more year.
And even Russell, Self said today, you know, said that he wished he could turn back the clock, that he knew what he was doing wrong. And, you know, Self said today he would not get beat out this year for that starting spot. And you looked at it, he made all the difference once they made that switch to the two guards with him and Chalmers.
Now yeah, he's on definitely. The all Big 12 defensive team along with Mario. And, of course, you know, Russell, coach said, one of the best defenders in the nation. And he hasn't reached his – not nation, sorry, in the Big 12. Maybe up there in the nation.
But, maybe yeah. one day.
But coach talking about the Big 12, but specifically he's got places to get better even. He can be a better – he can be a shutdown defender, which is coach what coach really wants.
For all you ladies out there, the guy with the buttery voice there is DJ Witter.
Ah, thanks, Tom.
And for the rest of you listeners, Kevin Romery of Sports 6 over there.
It's not buttery. More Tom
like buttery good? Journal World, Andy Sam, KUSports.com.
I got a voice that slices through butter.
Oh, dangerous.
Is buttery good?
We're not going to let you off.
We're going to have a historic moment later in the show today.
Yeah, so if you've
first female voice ever to be heard on the Spodcasters. And you want to talk buttery.
I'm not comfortable with that.
Well, we also know that you have to get going here pretty quick, Tom. But
what?
We can't what? Let you off
got a
the
family
hook.
To feed or something?
Family to shop for track shoes. My daughter's going to run track.
That obviously did not come from your side of the family.
Actually, yes, it did.
Stop it.
My brother was on a track scholarship at Boston College.
She's going to be a thrower?
Still what? In the mile relays? No,
really.
I ran the mile in high school.
And what?
Everybody had to run the mile in high school.
Let me give
Tom.
You the exact math. 155 pounds ago.
Wow.
But anyway, we're getting off track.
What was your mile time?
How many minutes? 5 minutes, 11 seconds as a freshman.
As a freshman? How many minutes ago was that?
Oh, that was many moons ago. But nobody cares about my undistinguished track career.
Back on task.
Well, before you go, you know, I would like to do predictions for the Big 12 tournament. But I just don't know if we can trust you. There's been a lot of talk by the spot backers out there who believed the trio, the three amigos here, Wetter, Romery, and Andy Sam about
me
calling
picking
the
KU
parameters
beat,
and the predictions there.
Beat K-State by 14?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
No,
talking
no.
about the, how many
guess
teams
I was right on
12.
That. I was all off right. a point the previous two. Go ahead.
He's
read a spot backer.
Horn over there already. Let's get to the real issue here, which was, and you were correct. You were correct that of what you did say.
Right.
Our argument is... Is what you said then.
Yeah. Okay, what I said so was...
You, but if a real prediction...
You went back and listed, and what I said was that there would be three
unless
KU lost two.
But then we said four would get in,
or,
and you told us we were wrong.
Three unless right. somebody predicted...
I told you were wrong, and you know, because...
And here we go.
We can't start it again because people will fast
under,
forward.
No, under those circumstances...
People are fast forwarding right, all right now, Tom. All right,
let me ask you this, Kevin.
You got to make this short.
Let me ask you this,
We've already
Kevin.
Annoyed enough
no,
people out there.
Let me ask you this. Do you think now four or five will get
four.
In? Four. Why?
Because I've seen Colorado play.
Unless Colorado
okay,
makes
now,
a move.
Let's say A&M had not beaten.
No one caught that. Unless Colorado yeah, makes
hold on.
A move.
Hold on. One voice turn. At a time.
Unless.
Hold on. If A&M had not beaten Texas, how many do you think would have gotten
I think
in?
Whoever got fourth in the Big 12 was
so,
the
okay.
team that would have gone.
You think it would have been just four and not five, though? How would you have distinguished them between A&M and Colorado?
It just depends by how you finish and then whoever did better in the Big 12 tournament.
So you think that's how they do it? They just say this conference is worthy of
oh,
four?
Absolutely.
Oh, see, that's where we disagree then because I don't. I think they take the 65 most worthy, you know, after the automatic bids, there's how many of at-larges are they take the most
33,
worthy and they don't worry about X number. In
that's
the,
cute,
in the
Tom. You think they
per
they look at
you
like
think
that?
They do?
No.
You think they look at a conference and say, well, this is a four-bid
league.
Dollar
signs.
This is a five-bid league. This is a three-bid league. Because I don't think they do it that way.
I think ultimately it comes down to the fact that, yeah, it's something pretty close to that in a big conference like the Big 12.
That'd be disappointing if that's the way they
it
do
it. It sure seems like, wow. historically speaking, when you look at the teams that get in, the teams that get or feel like they get, you know, the shaft, so to speak, are the little schools that you've never heard of. You never hear of Kentucky or Kansas or the bigger places getting the shaft, so
but
to speak.
Vegas, that was a big place, but I wonder why they got the shaft.
Dollar signs.
Well, I mean,
I think Jerry Tarkanian.
A good test for that obviously couldn't happen now is if A&M doesn't win that game, you know, how many teams like a smaller conference like the Valley would have got in, and that's still going to be interesting how many they get
well,
in this year.
Well, that's like last night, though, the Gonzaga-San Diego game.
Ooh,
all the small schools around the nation
yeah.
were yelling
no.
for Gonzaga to win that game. Yep. They don't want San Diego to win that game.
And then George
Mason
lost.
If they advance to that title game, you get some team from the West Coast Conference that really doesn't deserve to get
right.
in there. They get that bid. Who does that knock out? knocks out maybe a 15 from the Mo Valley or a team like that.
Here's the test, though. The test is we look at a Texas A&M, a Florida State, and then we look at a George Mason who got knocked out last night in the semis. You look at an Air Force who obviously we just don't know because of the conference tournaments. But those are the teams. Is it going to be Air Force and George Mason, or is it going to be a Texas A&M and a Florida State?
I really believe it's California. Texas A&M and Florida State. They're kind of a bubble team, the fourth team, I believe, in the Pac-10. Are they third or fourth in the Pac-10?
I thought they were second in the Pac-10.
California?
But those
No, I think Washington is second, right?
Because Washington beat Arizona, I think, for second.
Cal third, maybe Arizona fourth?
Maybe so.
But might be right. The California was the team more on the bubble than the other three.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, certainly UCLA and Washington are in, period.
And then
there's
this
no bubble
year,
there.
You know, you look at the Valley. Are they going to get – that would say a lot if they get five. I mean, not a power conference until this season, you know.
And if they get five, then obviously the Big 12 doesn't.
No.
Yeah. Well, that Missouri Valley turn really messed up everything, didn't it?
It did. I mean,
six teams went into
that tournament with a chance to get in there, and they're still saying five. I still don't believe it, but –
All right, so kill me with a spot back here.
Yeah, we're off, you know, task here.
And welcome back to everybody who fast-forwarded through that conversation.
Back to KU Sports Talk on the Spotcasters.
All right, we're going to go with the first one. His name's D. Singer.
If you get in first, not, you win.
Not Scott Singer. Who
no.
The Lounge Singer?
Often imitated.
A Lounge Singer.
Keegan, you don't get parameters with predictions. The whole point of predicting something in advance is to make an educated guess based on all likely or possible scenarios. Your guess of three or four teams in the tournament has to encompass the likelihood or improbability of A&M beating Texas. If you think they will guess, if you think they will get four teams, I don't know.
So, it was so well said and so horribly read, my Andy Samuels.
My reading skills are not great.
Taught public schools, take it out.
Your logic justifies.
Hey, don't rate the public schools by the worst specimen at the table here.
It was in a spelling bee somewhere.
Hey, I love the Lawrence public schools. Go ahead.
Okay. Your logic justifies predicting an outcome with an infinite number of possibilities so that you can always be right.
Well put.
But unfortunately, Keegan, you were neither right nor wrong. You were just not playing fairly.
Wham! Here. Oh, wham! Here.
Well, first of all, Mr. Singer. It was a discussion.
If we had t-shirts, the first
and
one.
And as you went back and listened to it, you see that the discussion was, how many do you think will get in? Well, I think only three, unless.
Then you're done. No.
The two upsets.
No, you got to have
an upset. Well, now, would I have predicted either one of those upsets?
No.
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
So that's your answer.
What was that? Who was the spot back the week?
D. Singer.
We do need to move that on.
Move on.
I've got puffy pants and white t-shirts. I'm going to make you one and send it
Coach
your
Self
way.
Said,
never going to want to wear
Coach
it.
Coach Self said today that he thinks that the Big 12 tournament, though, can move his seating three or four spots. Where do you guys see this? You know,
three
this
or
team?
Four spots. Wow.
He said so between three and seven.
Yeah.
Which would be three, four, five,
so
six, seven.
So seven would be
five.
Seven would be losing in the first round, and they'd be a seven. If they get knocked off by Iowa State or Oklahoma State, they lose in the first round.
You buy them being a seven then?
I don't.
If they get knocked off by those?
I don't think so.
What do you think, a six?
That's still 8 of 10 going into the tournament. I think five.
I think they're a 5 to 3 no matter what.
You're Big 12 co-champs no matter what.
I think they're a six if they lose in the first round of that tournament, and I think they're a three if they win the tournament.
Yeah, I agree with the three. I think they're three if they get to the championship.
I think they're three.
I still don't buy that the championship outcome matters all that much. But if you're playing that game against a Texas again, or God forbid a Texas get knocked out and you're in there, I think you move right up.
I hope Kansas gets that three somehow, some way, because then you avoid that number one seed in the Sweet 16, and that gives another round for maybe that top seed to get knocked off, or you get that second tier teams, which at this point is going to be, you know, you're not going to play Texas because you won't play them that early. So you avoid the horns, and then you look at the other three teams that are going to be there. You know, they're not the Dukes, they're not the UConns, they're not the Villanovas. You avoid all three of those guys until the regional final.
Unless you're in the Memphis bracket, and that would be.
And Memphis is going to be a two seed now.
Bruh, that's true.
And that's okay. Maybe Gonzaga may even be number one now. After
I was hearing arguments for Gonzaga as a one, and then also, are they a three yet? Boy, if Ohio State might stink up into one.
Imagine if you're a three at George Washington. Is that team going to be a two?
They're going to have to be a two
or
three.
If they're a two, don't you want to be the three in that bracket?
Here's the deal. Outside of Duke, UConn, Villanova, and Texas, if they're playing well, although I don't think they can string games together. I mean, they've shown that all season. They don't string enough games together to be able to win an NCAA tournament. I don't believe that. But Texas can knock someone out. But outside of those four teams, maybe, nobody in this tournament is that scary.
Hey, enough of this male talk. We need to
get more intelligent talk here, and that's why we brought in the reporter for 6 News who covers KU at large. And when you're talking tournament, everybody tunes in. And of all the places I've ever worked, I've never had, to be honest with you, a readership that is pretty much 50% female. Because
well, that's
in other
because
towns,
of you. They buy the paper to get your picture in the...
Because they think I really look that good.
That GQ
as good
picture,
as the picture
you got that's in there.
They don't know what I really look like. But
just a headshot.
Is her final work week of work here, and she's a huge KU hoops fan.
And a Spodcasting fan.
And a Spodcasting fan. The one, the only, the great Brooke Wehner.
I'm honored to be here.
We're honored to have you. This is history, as we said. It's the first
truly
buttery voice ever on.
Well, and I feel like we need some women representation around here. So
where have we
That's
been failing the women?
Come. Oh, well, you haven't been failing us, but I don't feel like there's a woman's voice, except for maybe DJ, but, you know.
You can't take away my mic and then say that. Brooke's on my mic. That's not fair.
Well, who's your favorite Jay? Jayhawk.
Oh,
I know Jayhawks don't like the term Jay.
Probably Brandon Rush, but Julian Wright is definitely gaining some points, so...
Rush is my favorite, too. He's a great quote. He's funny. He's fun to watch. He plays so far above the rim. He can score in so many ways. Why do you like him? The tattoos?
That's an unfair question, isn't it? That's a little unfair. Egan, be a journalist.
No, that's why I like him is the tattoos.
This is what happens when a woman comes on. No.
Keegan loses his mind.
You know, actually, I kind of feel like I have a little bit of a personal tie with Brandon Rush just because, you know, I'm the one that broke the story that he was coming here, if you remember that.
I do remember that, actually. Yeah, that's why you got to tune in.
I mean, not really, but I can say that. I really enjoy watching him play, and hopefully he'll stick around for another year or two. We'll see.
And the way you broke that was you went to the register's office and...
Oh, we won't talk about the way I broke it.
Broke some ethics there, did you?
No.
And you found out that he had registered at KU.
Well, no, we found out that he had a KU ID number. Which means that he had applied. But that didn't actually mean that he was definitely coming. But then we checked out the other schools that he was thinking about going to, like Illinois and Indiana, and they had no record. So... And then the next day he announced he was coming, but that probably would have happened anyways. But,
so,
you know.
So, Brooke, this is your last week for all the 6 News viewers
out
there.
Yeah, and I'm really
sad
to leave Lawrence. I'm really sad to leave Lawrence, and, you know, I'm going to St. Louis where KU basketball isn't broadcast all the time. So, luckily, I'm going around tournament time, so I'll be able to see all the games.
That's a genius move.
Hopefully, we'll make it past the first round.
And you're going to listen to Spodcasters?
Absolutely. Maybe I'll email and you know, talk back a little to the Spodcasters.
Might be weird if you're the Spodbacker of the week. 1 week on the show.
Could be a rig.
If you are, though, rip Keegan.
So,
she doesn't have an inner to do that.
But
she loves
maybe
me.
Maybe I missed this part of the show, but who are we predicting to win the Big 12 tournament? Have we put those kind of predictions out
no,
on the
go
table
ahead.
Yet? No.
Let's hear it.
Predictions, well, no parameters. Let's go start
yeah,
with
prediction.
Brooke.
Oh, starting with me? That's not fair.
Okay, we'll go with DJ.
I don't have a mic. Quit asking me questions like that. Texas wins the Big 12 tournament. KU loses on Saturday. That's my prediction.
KU, what do you got?
I've got Texas defeating KU in the final of the Big 12 tourney, a double overtime victory for KU over Oklahoma on Saturday.
Wow.
No, that's Saturday's outcome is double overtime, KU over Oklahoma.
Well, I think it's
now, but what do I know? The last three predictions I've had, I said KU by 14 over K-State, and then I was off by 1 point in each of the previous two.
Yeah.
Of course, the Texas one I was off by 30.
So, what do you predict Texas over KU in the final?
I'm going to say that's like a 7-point outcome.
So a much better game.
Yeah. I mean, they have to play a better game against them. They certainly will. Mm-hmm. I just don't see them you know, really getting blown out the way they did last game.
Yeah. Well, now we need our also – we're joined by
– Ryan.
The Journal World's Ryan Wood, who's –
he's been outed for a couple weeks.
But we need a crazy prediction. I'm hoping he picks, you know,
Iowa State
or Missouri or somebody.
Keegan took my karma, apparently, because in midseason I was a can't-miss
like Andy
phenom.
Roddick, you lost your mojo and fell apart right away, didn't
but
you?
I'm now sitting in Tom Keegan's chair, so I'm going to make a Tom Keegan prediction.
Is it warm?
Now we can just talk all the trash
we
want.
I think KU
Keegan's
wins the Big
here.
12 tournament unless
oh boy,
they don't. unless they don't.
Another limb. It's
pretty good.
So either way, I can't lose. But I'm going to take a
I actually kind of really thought about it much. I like Oklahoma.
I agree. Thing,
because Oklahoma, for some reason,
plays well.
Kelvin Sampson okay. knows how to get his teams ready for these tournaments. Kansas has been like 99.
Oklahoma blows leads, though. I just can't see them doing well in a tournament setting.
They've been so good historically in the Big 12 tournament. Kansas is a team that has been bad. Kansas,
what was that stat we were looking at earlier?
KU hadn't won the tournament since 99.
They won the first three.
And think about the KU teams that have not won this thing. I mean, they won a lot of regular season titles. They had some good teams come
02,
through.
03.
Yeah. Oklahoma's Final tough. Four teams I don't think Texas can win 3 days in a row because I don't think Texas is deep enough. I think they're going to have major problems on Sunday, and I think Oklahoma's going to be a little hacked off after the game that was just played yesterday.
Right.
And I think Oklahoma's a little hacked off after playing Kansas the first time, and we'll very much look forward to that semifinal.
And as much as they probably need it, maybe more than any other team, to kind of solidify their seed, because right now they don't have a whole lot of signature wins. You know, they got the four close ones, which said something about them. But, you know, they
Texas A&M, Big 12 tournament champions.
I could see that.
You heard it here.
I think it all depends on the big men for all the teams, especially in KU.
Especially when you're, I mean, how about these guys are going to get fatigued and too, Texas, by the end of the end of the weekend. So maybe it's the guard play. I'm going to disagree with you, Brooke.
Really?
They're going to hit their shots.
I think they'll hit their shots. It's a matter of whether, well. I just think it's all about rebounding, obviously, and getting to the basket. And some of our big men sometimes can't actually get to the basket. They can't turn around and finish.
Hey, DJ, she didn't only take your mic. Now she's playing for the Jayhawks too.
She's playing DJ Wetter. Our big men don't get down the lane.
She's down low on the
blocks. I'm notorious for that.
DJ wears his jersey underneath his clothes during
false.
The podcast.
I did it once.
It's number 00.
It
be
happened
nice.
Once.
We'll never have a female in here again.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Be nice.
You were talking, though, about something that's a little interesting, Kevin, when you mentioned that KU, which is rare. Now, when you mentioned KU does not traditionally do that well in the Big 12 tournament, but they've done pretty well in the NCAA tournament. For example, those back-to-back Final Four years, they didn't win the Big 12 tournament. So here's the deal, though. You asked Coach Self that today, and he responded by saying, we put a little more importance on what happens in the following weeks maybe than this week, right?
Well, and he said in the regular season titles as well. I mean, you win that regular season title, and you're that good, ranked in the top five or whatever, what do you really have to play for? And the teams that are trying to fight their way in, and this is their last chance to get there, have so much to play for. And on your team like I mean, honestly, this week, KU, UT, and OU really don't have a ton to play for. Sure, if you win the thing.
Texas is probably playing for perhaps a one seed still.
But we're talking about just one or two places for both teams. I mean, it's not like there's any real severe pressure on anybody.
No.
Baylor, on the other hand, they could be dangerous.
They've got to
win.
They
could be.
They've got to win.
They could be.
They could double their
win total this weekend.
But Missouri.
No, in all seriousness, though, don't you get the feeling this is different, though, this year for KU? They have something to play for. This young team, they're trying to establish something, and I think this tournament means more to this team than it meant to a Wayne, Aaron, Keith, and Michael team last year. This tournament is a chance to make a statement on TV when everybody's watching.
That team, though, last year, too, like Self said earlier today, a little beat up. You go in that tournament a little differently. Yeah, you don't want to exert more pressure on Langford, who is recovering. You know, he didn't even play in some of those games. But, you know,
that's why that's one thing Coach Roy, who's been a guest here in the Spodcasters, one thing he always said. He wasn't a big fan of the Big 12 tournament, especially playing three games in 3 days right before you head off to, you know, Dallas or wherever you go.
And we tried to get Coach Roy this week for all you spot backers out there, but just too many media appearances after the big win.
You know, he's a popular guy this time of year, especially after after North Carolina beat the Dukies.
He had some Coke commercial he was working on, I don't know.
Coke. So I definitely, you know, you can kind of see where it's coming from. In 02, 03, the Final 4 years, I think 03 they're a 1-2, and they end up being a 2 seed, so, you know, big deal. 02, it didn't matter if they won it or not. They were a number 1 seed. They had 3 losses the whole year, and, you know, they were going to be fine. So in a lot of cases, they don't have to do well in the Big 12.
Is there any team out there, do you think, that can make the run for 4 days straight? It doesn't happen very often. I think Missouri has done it a couple times, but obviously that's been a Missouri team who has had the talent to.
Missouri's made the run of the championship game.
Yeah, never won it. But I'm saying
if there's one team this year that's going to do it, they're going to do it by beating Kansas on Friday. It's going to be one of those two teams, I think.
See, Self said maybe he also liked K-State, and I'm kind of with him there, but also K-State, just you saw a lot in that game, a big game, and they just collapsed over the final 10 minutes. They didn't hit another field goal. They were in the game, cut it to 3, and that's how they played all year. So what would make you believe, you know, their coach is gone? You almost just think that team is
Andy, I know this is a lame answer, but I don't think there's any team that does that this year. There's not talent. Too lame? Jerk.
Now, if Colorado played at home, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
Outside of that,
you mentioned Blaylock and Stinson. Blaylock and Stinson can't shoot that well for 4 days straight, so they're not going to do it. Colorado Roby can't play by himself for 4 days straight.
It would take two upsets. It would take a team like Iowa State beating Kansas and then getting help
on the other side of the bracket. Yeah.
I think you're right that it has to be one of the teams that plays Kansas, because how much energy are these teams that we're going to play four games going to have to exert against an Oklahoma, against a Texas, against who's the other team? Texas A&M. All teams that'll kind of bang with you, and that just exerts so much energy. Maybe you can run with KU and get by.
Missouri, the 2 years, I believe, when they made it there, is that they just were dead on Sunday because they had to play so hard to get there. But Coach Self said when he was playing first year right at Illinois, he said Iowa did it. They won all four, so it can be done.
We'll
but
see.
Not going to happen, right?
I think it's going to happen. I might change my prediction again. I said,
how many predictions
maybe?
Do you have today, Wood?
We're writing them all down.
You came in with Oklahoma,
I'm
right?
I predict all 12 Big 12 teams have a chance.
So apparently the left-handed seat, that seat to my left, is just,
it's
wacky. The BS seat, because the only thing that's coming out of there is extra parameters and extra guesses. And oh man,
no, I'm going to stick with Texas A&M unless Kansas wins it.
And A&M the hottest team going right now.
Sure.
Seven straight
I think
in the Big
that's
12.
A great pick.
Thank you. Thank you.
I agree with
it's not Texas Tech, stick around. Who's lost four straight. Of course, Brooke, we need to let you know that the reason Nostrovoodis has been not in here for the last two
I'm
weeks
a
because
prediction
of what?
Phenom. Because I had a dry spell.
You had a dry spell.
I was slicing everything
in fact,
the woods.
His nickname was the cooler. That's what we started calling him.
The ice chest.
I don't like that. I don't like that much.
Well,
I'm back.
Texas A&M. Jumping on your bandwagon. Okay. I'm going with Texas A&M also.
All right. Great minds think alike.
Would also like to point out that Brooke picked Kerry to win the election.
That's a 50-50 chance.
Oh, that's true. So true. On election day.
Maybe I should go with my pick since I picked Crash last night to win Best Picture.
Did you?
It's a good movie.
Yeah, Brooke's terrible.
I think the game of the tournament will be KU-OU, and then the winner of that wins it. So that's not really a good pick, but
uh-huh.
I'm going to say,
thanks, Tom.
I'm going to say Oklahoma. That was my best Keegan. I'm going to say Oklahoma pulls out an overtime, maybe a late second game against the Jayhawks, and then beats Texas.
So you're with me.
Texas A&M by 30 in every game.
Now let's flip the tournament. There's another tournament
leave.
Going on
this
down there
on
this
the
week.
Record, didn't it?
At Reunion Arena. And me and the guy to my left who's.
We got a quick nap ahead of us.
Who's
tonight.
Winning that?
We are leaving tomorrow morning bright and early for Dallas to go down and cover the women's tournament. And why wouldn't Oklahoma win the whole thing?
There's I don't know. They haven't lost
16
a game yet.
That's only three more to go. I mean,
maybe the best player in the nation.
Probably, definitely best freshman.
Yeah,
in the
but I bet Baylor has something to say about that before it's all said and done.
Well, KU could potentially be facing Baylor on Wednesday.
And you don't think that's going to happen, do you?
If they beat Kansas State. I just don't see it. I think Kansas State just has KU's number.
But, Ryan.
By the logic I just said about
Kansas State has a great player named Claire Coggins who's from Lee Summit, Missouri. That's all you need.
Oh, my
K-State wins.
All right. Explain that so people
I'm turning off his mic, folks.
K-State wins. I'm from Lee Summit. I went to Lee Summit North High School along with Claire Coggins. So she has a fan in me. She has a fan in me, and she's going to beat KU tomorrow night.
Do you have a fan in her?
No.
Are you getting paid for this?
No.
Well, it could have been our highest viewed show ever because of Brooke. Wood came in and brought it down to maybe the lowest.
Wow. That baby just got flushed down the toilet. We might as well just start over now.
No, let's not forget, as Kevin pointed out, KU has the advantage because they've lost to K-State twice this year.
I'm not going to say here. KU has no chance. I think they certainly have a chance. They kept it pretty close in Manhattan. Honestly, last week was not a great showing for him, but
I mean, I'm a Jayhawk fan, but I would argue they didn't keep it close. That game got ugly in a hurry
in Manhattan.
KU made a huge run at the end
there
to get
go.
It close.
It's the final score. It's not what happened 20 minutes into the game, Romery.
This is true.
If the halftime score
that.
Counted, then
I think
Kansas State would be all right.
Well, hey, three Kansas seniors have all the motivation that they can need, but they also have that motivation on senior night. If it's their last game, didn't turn out too good.
Crystal Kemp
There's
said she was
whole...
nervous that night, though. You wonder if that had something to do with that. The pressure's.
It wasn't
you know,
her scoring that was the problem. It was Kaylee Brown's bagel.
It was everyone
else's
problem. Now, Crystal Kemp scored her average that night.
Exactly.
So,
I'm going to go out on the limb and I'm going to pick Kansas in a close game because I think Kemp and Holman are gonna show up, and they just need a little bit from a couple other. You know, they haven't had a big win since the Texas game.
I don't
game,
think it's a huge limb. I'm not going to predict it, but I don't think that's. You know, I wouldn't be.
This game will be close either way, I believe, and I'm going to pick Kansas in a close one.
I hope you're right.
Lee Summit, 20 points.
Crystal Kemp, 30. All 40 minutes. Make that
if he can talk about Wichita every single show and have his Wichita moment of the week.
Romer, you and I need to talk about our high schools more because between Nostra Woodis over here and Andy Samuelson,
I've got a lot of Lee Summit talking to do before I ever catch up with Andy Sam.
I haven't even mentioned Wichita until this moment
What's the message to the kids?
Because this guy over here thinks Wichita State is still not in.
I don't know.
They are as much of a lock as Kansas right now.
Andy, it pains me to say this, but Wichita State is a lock. You don't have to worry.
And
wrong.
Now I'll say this. They might not win a game. That would be a stretch right now. I don't think it's going to be tougher than to win a game.
Who cares about Wichita? Let's talk about Lee Summit some more. No, that was a joke,
that
guys.
Clicking noise around town as people turn their computers off.
Yes, I agree.
I want to know what the message to the kids is. That's why people are still listening.
We just put him on the spot.
No. Pointing at me?
It's a Sandman deal. I don't know why he's pointing at it. It's his deal. He started it. He's confused.
Yeah, no. The message to the kids is when tasks seem insurmountable, much like Kansas State's task this week.
Do you make
Iowa
this up
State,
as you go?
Sometimes. Don't ruin this moment for me. The Iowa State, all those Baylor kids out there, that's when the heart comes out. How much heart you have is determined in tournaments like this.
Okay.
That's my message to the week.
What does that mean?
It means Baylor's heartless. They're going to get rocked on
Who doesn't have heart? What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting Missouri will probably lay down, and you will see no heart from them. But you'll see a team like K-State or Oklahoma State or Iowa State show that they have a little heart and win a couple games. Heart can get you a little bit farther. Maybe Kansas will have some.
Can score 50 points and lose a game.
There you go.
It's true. That can happen.
Maybe they just had more heart.
Well, now that you've heard the message of the week, is there any more to talk
about?
What's
left? Are we wrapping this up, or is there more to do?
Well, I think our send-off should be from the lady leaving.
I know.
Well,
we're sad,
I don't really know how to send it.
You
got to
sing a song.
I don't know what the sign-off is.
We finally ran you off after a couple of years. I'm sad.
Okay,
I'm
how about this for yours?
Also.
You will have a week off on vacation during the NCAA tournament.
Exactly.
At least a week.
You didn't do that on purpose,
we'll
did
see
you?
See how fast I find
how far
did
we'll...
you time that on purpose?
Wainer? The thought definitely crossed my mind when I was looking at the schedule. I thought that that would be a perfect
time to be at home.
I mean,
quit.
You know, I've been working now for 3 years where, you know, I would like to sit at home and watch the tournament. Yes.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Sounds like you guys, on the other hand, get paid to watch the tournament. Me, on the other hand, I got to be out doing other stories. So the idea of sitting at home on the couch and watching the tournament
sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Romer and me agree that this is the best time on earth for for any basketball fans. Our jobs just get a little tougher, but hey, still fun time of the year.
Oh, it's fun.
When
it's
we follow the tournament, I know you guys will agree to this. The perception out there is that we get to watch all these games. Bottom line is, we get to watch the KU game, and that's about it.
Yeah, we miss a lot of the tournament.
I never know anything else that's going on in the tournament. We have no idea. They've got TVs in like the back media room. We'll walk by to be able to check the score, but trying to get stories done and get interviews done in post-game, and you're running around on TV land. We're trying to feed stories back.
That and college football season. We don't see college football season because every game is about the same time as KU's game. So, but I'm not complaining at all.
No.
I love my job.
And you're rich because of it.
And I'm making eight
rich
figures.
Rich in your heart. That's what we were talking about. The spotidity of the week, the rich in the heart, yeah.
But we want to – how are we going to send off Brooke? We're going to get a prediction.
No, I was
going to
have
–
how far will Kansas go this year?
Oh,
in the NCAAs.
Oh, Sweet 16.
That's pretty good.
That's how I'm feeling.
We're on
the same page here,
Brooke.
You know,
I like
that. You give me a bracket, and I'll probably fill it out and say that we're winning the entire
thing.
Somehow
KU makes it to Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we'll get an easy road, and I'll have us winning every single game. So
my mother does the same thing.
But I'm thinking right now Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm. Until you get the bracket, and then all of a sudden,
she's lost every
they're cutting down the nets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
hey,
I never
but one
do
of those years,
well.
That's going to pay off.
It better.
I really think if CJ Giles can step up along with Sasha Khan, I think that we'll do very well.
Makes a lot of sense.
I think the guards are going to pull
tickets
it
for Indianapolis right
that,
now.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Detroit.
Salt Lake City, perhaps.
Better.
We'll see.
Too bad I'm not a betting woman.
Too bad. Too bad.
No, you're not, are you, bro?
All right, well, our staff in here right now is dramatically different from the staff that was in here at the beginning of this episode.
A little bit more level-headed. Should we go?
Yeah, I mean, a lot smarter.
To now. The right.
People that actually make predictions are in here now.
that mess them all up. So let's wrap it up, Andy, Sam.
Well, congratulations, Brooke.
Thank you very much. Good night, Brooke. And good
we
luck.
We miss you. We miss you already.
I miss you.
Not
already.
Just a movie, a slogan for life.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you next time. More.